Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we will be taking many looks at what's going on in Japan. One of the things that many of us wrestle with is all the tsunamis that we see occurring, earthquakes happening with more frequency, as was said by some commentators on television the other night. And is there a reason for that? We are talking right now, we will be talking with Christopher Mims, who is news editor at grist.org, who wrote an interesting column, Does Climate Change Mean More Tsunamis? He was originally kind of criticized for the stridency of the column, but he raised issues that we can't turn away from. And Christopher Mims, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
So let's talk about this. I mean, one of the – what really struck me was as I was watching some of the news coverage last night and on the web, I saw more than one commentator posit that that we are seeing more tsunamis and earthquakes with more frequency now than we have in recorded history. Now, I don't know the veracity of that, but I'd like – do you know the answer to that question?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, the most important thing to keep in mind with these kinds of natural disasters is that the reason that they're more visible is that there are simply more people living in more vulnerable areas, and that's why whether it's a tsunami or a hurricane or any other natural disaster, there's more monetary damage year after year because there's simply more in harm's way.
So weren't you positing on some levels that there's a connection or maybe not this – you made a distinction between this tsunami that was just occurred in Japan, this horrible disaster occurred in Japan, and other tsunamis that could occur, people you quoted, because of climate change.
Right. So there is a large body of research which says that climate change – affects the Earth's crust in ways that we don't normally appreciate, and that everything from warmer air temperature to higher sea levels and other impacts of climate change can actually cause earthquakes, can cause volcanic eruptions, and because tsunamis are linked to earthquakes, that potentially as the planet warms, you could have a higher frequency of these kinds of events. And there's substantial evidence for this in the fossil record. What's not clear, however, is whether or not is when this will happen. So, in other words, by the time you have more earthquakes and tsunamis as a result of climate change, you might be so far along in terms of a warming planet that would be the least of your worries.
One of the things that was in your piece in grist.org, and by the way, I encourage listeners, they can link to it on our website, grist.org. It's a really amazing news website that I encourage you all to peruse and read. But in this piece you wrote, Christopher, there was a – let me just talk a bit about what you said here. I mean, when it comes to this, you made it clear – you talked about a 2009 paper, written by Bill McGuire from University College in London. And one of the things he's talking about, he talked about the subduction zone earthquakes that in the earth and what happened in Japan had nothing to do with might happen. But what he wrote about was that, and you can maybe explain this to our listeners, is that the collapse of methane hydrate deposits at the bottom of the ocean on the continental shelf, for example, for which a tsunami would be one of the many negative impacts, that when ice is lost, Earth crust bounces back up again and triggers earthquakes, which trigger submarine landslides, which cause tsunamis. Yes, you quoted McGuire. So that's the piece that I think that those connections is what you were alluding to earlier.
Right. So, I mean, I think a lot of us don't appreciate that there are very large deposits of what are essentially natural gas at the bottom of the ocean. I mean, not at the very bottom. They're on the continental shelf, which is the sort of raised platform of land that surrounds the shore of for instance, the North American continent. And trapped under very intense pressure is this weird ice, you might call it, called methane hydrate, where it's this mixture of water and natural gas, and it's solid. And one of the fears is that as warming accelerates, and again, we have evidence for this in the fossil record, you would have a spontaneous event where large amounts of this methane hydrate would go directly from a solid form to a gas. It would bubble up to the surface, which would cause a severe warming event. But in addition, if enough of it collapses at once, it would cause an undersea landslide, and you would end up with tsunamis in areas where you don't normally expect them, like Arctic areas. I mean, there are Arctic oceans right now, and Siberia is an example. Russia, mm-hmm. the coastline there, where it's not just the pressure of the ocean that's keeping this natural gas in a solid form, it's the temperature. So as the oceans warm, we already know that this methane hydrate is turning into gas and bubbling to the surface. We have ample evidence of that. So the question is, will this happen on a large scale, catastrophically, as it has happened in Earth's past? And absolutely no one knows the answer to that question, but it's something that could happen in the future.
No one knows, and as you quote David Pyle of Oxford University, not quote, but you refer to him, and you who said that, which I was really interesting, that small changes, and I'm quoting here, that in the mass of the Earth's surface seem to affect volcanic activity in general, and not just in places where ice has receded after a cold spell. So that, and if weather patterns do indeed infect volcanic activity, then all of this could affect the weather that comes in the future, or the eruptions come in the future, I should say. And we don't really know one way or the other. I mean, the science is really very new in many ways.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, the models that we have that try to project these changes into the future, you know, we're lucky if these models include things like ice cover, much less the interactions of the ocean and the atmospheric system with the geological system beneath our feet. So, I mean, what we do know is that we're now putting carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases into the atmosphere faster than they have ever been put into the atmosphere in the history of the planet, as far as we know. So it is logical to infer that that is going to cause warming of a pace that is unprecedented in Earth's history. And if we have evidence in the geological record that past warming events have caused these, accelerated volcanic activity, earthquakes, tsunamis, you would expect that probably. But it's not something that anyone can say for sure, because it's a new area of study, and I think that the public is not aware of it. And Bill McGuire, who organized a conference on this in 2009, I think is somewhat alarmed, because he feels that people who are in a position to make decisions, politicians, are unaware of this potential connection.
Because, and as you write in the article, we don't know directly the connection between how the Earth's geosphere to this climate change. We don't know what that interaction really might mean, but it could mean many things. One of the things you quote in here, people have talked about the Ring of Fire, not in your article, but the Ring of Fire, the Earth in Chile, Japan, and that in this piece you talk about glacial earthquakes and how they can create more powerful tsunamis, and directly affecting Chile, New Zealand, where these earthquakes have taken place, as well as Japan and Canadian Newfoundland. I mean, this is what's so scary is that we're not really paying attention to any of this, and that now we're looking at the United States government under Republican control talking about cutting all the federal agencies that look and study this.
That's true. I mean, that was in the news recently.
Yes.
that perhaps the GOP-controlled Congress was going to cut funding to a government agency which monitors tsunamis in the Pacific. I mean, they denied it, but I think the scientists involved were very concerned, and one of them, I think, actually said, was quoted as saying in a news report that, you know, that he believed that lives were at stake. There's a certain – it's just like Obama has a problem where, you know, as soon as he talks about offshore drilling, oops, you know, the deep water disaster happens. Some people just kind of have poor timing. I think a year or two ago, Bobby Jindal made fun of volcano monitoring, and then there was an eruption on U.S. soil. So, I think the bottom line is it's probably not a good idea to cut off any of our monitoring of the Earth system right now, because we are in a time of profound change, and we don't know what the scale or the pace of that is going to be. And so we really have to pay attention. And so just one more plug, you know, NASA just lost the Glory satellite, which was supposed to study Earth's atmosphere and warming. And it's a major blow to that whole
lost it.
It actually, the rocket failed to make it to the target orbit, and I think that it splashed down somewhere in the ocean. So we actually don't, I mean, I think that we think that we have this very sophisticated apparatus for looking at the Earth, and the truth is that we, especially from space, we really don't. I mean, we have, you know, we respond to crises as they happen, and we have tsunami monitoring, because that's an issue. I mean, we know that, for instance, Oregon is very vulnerable to the kind of event that happened in Japan. That there's a giant fault there. That it's been that fault is way overdue for the big one, essentially. So we do monitoring there, but there's lots of things that we probably don't have enough data on.
Well, I deeply appreciate what you write. I deeply appreciate the work you do and the work that grist.org does, Christopher Mims, and we look forward to having you on again soon. And we'll keep abreast of this with your writing.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you so much. And tomorrow we will look at nuclear power and the United States of America and the world and whether we should be building more reactors or not in the wake of what's going on in Japan. And we'll take a deeper look at what's going on in Japan as well. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Christina Arison and Justin Levy. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any repair shows, hear new additional interviews, and find out information about our guests and the work that they do, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.